everyone. Welcome to the Crafty Garden Mom Podcast. My name is Tanisha. If you're a new listener to the podcast, welcome. Thanks for giving me a listen. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. So I hope everyone's doing well. We are doing pretty good around here. It is Friday, March 20th, the first day of spring, and it's been snowing. I already complained in the last episode about the snow, and there's really not a whole lot much more I can complain about. It's just, I'm so over it. Just like many, many people in the United States are over the snow and ready for spring. Tomorrow, well, today it snowed. Tomorrow it's supposed to be in the 60s. So there you go. I am really looking forward to some nicer weather. All ready to start my garden. Yeah, I know. The Crafty Garden Mom Podcast hasn't had a whole lot of gardening info or content in it in quite some time, years. But this year, at the urging of my children, Maddie in particular, is very eager to start gardening with me and growing some strawberries and vegetables, although she's very particular about the kinds of vegetables she's willing to work on. Maddie's just very particular in general. But she is, you know, just like a lot of kids, they are interested in how things grow, gardening, on that whole process. And it is fun, and it's been a while. And last fall, I would say late summer going into fall, we had some yard work done, and my sadly neglected and very overgrown garden was cleared out by the people who were doing some of the other yard work we had going on. I asked them to do that, and they were like, no problem. And something that would have probably taken me several weeks to do, you know, just doing it in fits and starts, he did in, you know, probably about an hour of work, maybe a little bit more than that. I don't know. I didn't watch him while he did it. But by the time I came home from work that afternoon, it had all pretty much been done. And they did a great job. So it's all cleared out because of the cold weather we've recently had. There aren't any weeds, so I can start fresh. And so I will, in upcoming episodes, talk a little bit more about gardening with kids, and the style of gardening that I do. If you've been listening for a long time, you probably recall a long time ago that I said I do very easy, simple, busy people's kinds of gardening. There's nothing super involved. I start with a book that has been my gardening manual, basically, and it is Lasagna Gardening. Let me grab it here. Hold on. Oh. Sorry about that. I just wanted to grab the book. Lasagna Gardening by Patricia Lanza. It's probably still in print, but I don't see it widely advertised or put out there anymore, but it's one of the best books that I've read. And I read quite a few. Square Foot Gardening, and you know, all in that same vein of simple, easy, novice gardens, vegetable gardens that you can do. And this one to me just made the most sense. So in an upcoming episode, I will talk a little bit more about the lasagna gardening. There probably will be some blog posts about it with pictures. And it's the way to go as far as I'm concerned, because you literally start from the ground up. There's not a whole lot of digging or weeding or anything like that. She shows you exactly what to do, even if you just have a patch of grass. You know, you don't have to do any digging into the grass and toiling of the soil and all of that. You literally start from the grass up, and within weeks you will have that, you will be growing a garden. So it's great. So I will post a link I'll post a picture of the book as well as a link to the lasagna gardening page, probably on Amazon. if you want to take a look. And I am an Amazon affiliate, just in full disclosure. So any of the links that I have on my blog that directly go to a site like Amazon, and there's a few, I think, in some of my art journaling, I'm an affiliate of a couple of, you know, stamping and scrapbooking sites that have affiliate pages. It will go to a link that is associated with me, and I get a portion of the sale if you happen to purchase. I don't do it with everything, but anything that I recommend and have a link to on my site more than likely is an affiliate link. So I just wanted to give full disclosure there. But I highly, highly recommend that book. And she also has another one, Lasagna Gardening for Containers, which is also very good. And since Maddie is interested in growing strawberries, which I have found grow better and use up a lot less space in your you know, plot garden, if you grow them in containers, we will probably do a little bit of container gardening, maybe some herbs or something like that. Simple things to grow, especially for kids, that they can get pretty quick satisfaction out of, because strawberries grow pretty quickly and you can, you know, pretty much eat them right off the vine. So anyway, so that's what we will be doing once the weather cooperates. Sam was very eager to start gardening this weekend, and I told her, you know, the ground is probably too cold right now. We need to let it warm up a little bit before we start doing it. We'll see. I mean, I had planned actually today to go and get the soil and some of the stuff I need to get started, but I'm just so unmotivated with the snow coming down to go anywhere. So we will see. Anyway, so that's what we've been working. That's what we're working towards around here. And I will say this isn't, I always say this, but I don't plan on this being a very long episode, because I'll be upfront, I have not done a whole lot of crafting. Not much of any sewing after I made that mini bird quilt that I talked about in the last episode. And I have been working a little bit in my art journal, but yeah, I don't want to say I don't have the mojo, because in my mind, I'm doing a whole bunch of crafting. I think it's just, I'm at a point right now with things going on with work, planning, you know, things that I'm planning that will be taking up more of my time, travel coming up, just all of that. I just have not had the motivation to actually get into my craft space and work on things, but it's all been going on in my mind. Do you sometimes get that feeling like I haven't physically been working on something, but I've been thinking about it so much that I feel like I have been? It's taking up so much space in my mind. So I kind of have that feeling, but it's not anything necessarily that I want to talk about. Like, I have nothing to show for it, I guess is what I'm saying. So hopefully, if I can get my act together with some things that have been going on with work that are taking up additional space in my mind, which is a little annoying because this kind of stuff usually doesn't. But once I can do that and actually work in my craft space, I will hopefully have more to show coming. Because like I said, I have lots of ideas and things that I want to do that are just like, it's almost like on the tip of my fingers to create them, but I have not been able to make the time to do it. So that's kind of where I'm at. I do have a couple things I will talk about in a few minutes, but before I do that, I did want to talk to you guys a little mom talk. about a little mom talk, because I've been thinking about this today, and I said, I'm going to record this podcast and I need to have something to talk about. Let me do a little mom talk. And even for those of you who don't have kids or maybe don't have young kids anymore, you can probably still just laugh at my predicament and what I'm going through right now with an 8-year-old girl. So Samantha, for those of you who are newer listeners, Samantha is my 8-year-old daughter, and Madeline, Maddie, is my 4-year-old daughter. And I guess Sam is getting a double dose these last two episodes, because I'm pretty sure I talked about her and her talent show in the last episode, which is coming up in a little over a week. So in the next episode, I will recap that for you. But this one, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys and highly encourage your comments, any advice. I'll be very honest. I don't necessarily think I'm looking so much for advice. Hold on one sec. Sorry about that. That was my cleaning lady letting me know that she's not comfortable driving in the snow, so she's coming on Monday, which is perfectly fine with me. I may have had a little desperation in my voice, like, you are still coming, right? At some point, please. Anyway, so what I was saying was, I don't necessarily know that I'm looking for advice on this issue, although, you know, it will be taken. Just commentary, commiserating, any of that is welcome. You can comment on this episode show notes, which will be on the blog shortly. Anyway, so what's been going on with Samantha? We are having issues with her and her organization. And it's really funny because you know how they say a lot of the traits that you see in yourself, you can also see in your children. I totally can see this in my child. It's the same with me, where she has all the best of intentions. She gets all excited about doing something and then it kind of fizzles out. And I can be that way too. So we have no issue with her schoolwork. She's doing fine there. The issue I've been having is, or what we have been struggling with, is her getting it together in the morning before school. And on a consistent basis. We have had checklists. I have had checklists for her. But ultimately, I've done several different things. Reminders, nagging, checklists, all of that. Right? We putting the bag together the night before, all of that. The issue is that she gets the bus. Let's say we leave the house at 8:15, just to round it out. At 8:10, if I have not already been nagging, hounding, reminding her for the last 30 to 45 minutes to get it together, the girl will still be in her pajamas at 8:10, knowing we have to leave for the bus at 8:15, whether it's walking or driving. Usually I have a minute to 2 minute curve there if I'm driving her to the bus stop, depending on the weather. But let's say, for all intents and purposes, let's say 8:15 is the time she needs to be ready. And she knows this. The girl, she's in second grade. We've been doing this now for months and years, right? So it's one of those where there are some days where I'm like, you're going to go to school in your pajamas. Like, you'll go to school in your pajamas and I'm not coming back for you. You know, I get that frustrated. I'm like, this is it. You know, it's not a choice of you're not going to school. You're going to school. But if you're choosing to go to school in your pajamas, that's what I guess you're going to go to school in. Now, of course, the mother in me on the inside is, oh, God, please don't go to school in your pajamas. I can just see the look on your teacher's face. Her teacher, very, very nice lady. She's an excellent teacher. She's, I'd say, on the spectrum of the age group of teachers at Samantha's school, she's older. And I wouldn't say older in terms of like she's almost ready to retire old, but you know, there's a good amount of younger 30 to 40 age group teachers at her school that when I saw Samantha's second grade teacher for the first time, I was like, oh, she's older. She's been here a while, which I immediately was like, yes, you know, and getting to know her and talking with her and working with her through the year, she's exactly what Samantha needs. You know, she runs her classroom like a well-oiled machine. And she has expectations of Samantha's work as well, and what she's expected to turn in on certain days. You know, the normal thing, the normal expectations. And as much as Samantha might whine about all the homework she has, which I've also talked in previous podcasts about, I look at Samantha and I'm like, you are complaining about that one little worksheet your teacher gave you? Like, are you kidding me? Sit down and do that 15 minutes of work tops. Like, just be quiet. I don't even want to hear it. There are kids right now, I'm sure, who are slaving over 3-4 hours of homework. You hear about that all the time. So she really gets no sympathy around here for the horrible amount of work and homework I have to do all the time. You know, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so I really like that her teacher also, of course, has expectations of her. But it is just like, girl, can you get it together? Like, this is the same, what is it, second verse, same as the first, every single day, 5 days a week. And we can't, like, maybe one of those 5 days, she will be ready to the point of we can walk out the door without me having to have nagged and yelled and pushed and reminded her. So today, the same thing happened, right? She was, of course, sure she was going to have a school delay. The school was going to be delayed at least an hour, maybe two. Wasn't delayed. Hallelujah. You could practically see the smiles on the faces of parents all over, like, yes, they have to go on time. So she wasn't delayed. So that bummed her out from the beginning. And so she was kind of dragging about that. And then, of course, I had bought her some short sleeve shirts because in previous days before today, it had been warmer in the 60s. So she needed some short sleeve shirts. So I bought her a couple. So, of course, she was bummed because I said, no, you can't wear that. You need to actually wear some clothes for colder weather. And she's like, is it really that cold? I said, look out the window. What? You were already telling me you were hoping it was delayed because of snow. So you knew it was going to snow. Anyway, I'm looking at her like, oh my gosh. So she does that. I reminded her that our cleaning lady was coming that day, so she needed to pick up her room and, you know, basically the same thing. Get it together. You have to remind her to brush her hair and her teeth. Yes. I don't know if any of you also have kids that it's like, really? I have to remind you of this every day? Because, yeah, she really would. She would go to school, unbrushed hair, unbrushed teeth. She really would. And there have been a few times where I may have forgotten to remind her to brush her teeth. And I get a, like when she says bye mom and gives me a kiss, I get a whiff and I'm like, oh my God, let me look in my purse really quick and see if I have a breath mint here. Cause geez Louise, can't. Yeah. And she's just, you know, she'll merrily go on her way. Well, anyway, so she's, you know, getting herself dressed, getting herself ready. And I go over to where her backpack is and that should have been packed. And of course, something that she was supposed to have turned in the day before hadn't been turned in. She did have her homework, her journal in her backpack, which was good. Her book baggy book, because every day they take home a book and it's called a book baggy. I don't need to go into it. But anyway, there's a book that the teacher gives them every day they're supposed to read a portion of. Well, the baggy was empty. So where's the book? So I was like, mental note, ask her where this book is. She also forgot to turn in her library book, which was sitting on the coffee table. So I call up to her. I'm like, Samantha, you still have some stuff to do down here before you get ready to go. Oh, okay. I'm cleaning my room. So then I start doing stuff to get myself ready, because I also have things that I need to do to get myself ready for the day. And I don't forget about her, but I'm like, okay, she's doing what she needs to do. We've got about 20 minutes. She's good. I look up at the clock. It's like 8:06, let's say. So we've got 9 minutes. So I call up to her and I'm like, let's get it together. Like, where are you? Come downstairs. She more than likely has been playing her iPod game, probably Minecraft, for this a whole time. She comes down, hair's not brushed, teeth are brushed. Or no, she said she brushed her teeth. But her hair, which she also said she brushed, still looked a hot mess. So I made her go up and brush it some more. So she comes back down. I look at her feet. They're bare. I'm like, so what are you going to walk around in all day? You going barefoot? So she's like, oh, and of course I, you know, oh my goodness, I have to go all the way back upstairs to get my socks. You know, you get all that. So she does all this, comes down. I remind her about her backpack. It's now probably 8:11. The problem also is there's no urgency. It's kind of like you're pumping your arms like, come on, let's go. Let's move it. Let's get some fire. You know, trying to light a little fire. No fire at all. There's not even a slow, you know, it's barely a simmer. So she finally gets it all together and I am telling her, you know, I'm reminding her, look, this has been every day this week and I'm pretty tired of it. You know, by now, admittedly, I was really irritated. And she's got this very sad look on her face. But a part of me, I will admit, was not feeling very sympathetic because I'm going, this is every single day. We are going through this and I'm tired of it. You will have to accept the consequences if you forget your work and blah, 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 and this form you're supposed to turn in and all, you know, you will have to start accepting the consequences of this. So of course I get the weepy look now and she's weeping a little bit. And there is a part of me that feels bad because, and this is me as a mom, I don't like to start my kids' days off on a negative because I know that that carries through the rest of their day and affects their work and things like that. But I'd had it. Like, I was just at that point, like, you have got to start taking some responsibility for yourself and the things that you need to do. These are not above and beyond things that you need to do to get it together and start your day. So we're in the car because it's snowing out, so we're driving to the bus stop, and I hear her from the back. She goes, I'm sorry, Mommy. And of course, I'm like, ugh. I said, okay, I'm sorry. I yelled at you. I talked really loud at you and that you got upset about that. But I still will say to you that you know, these are the things that you need to do. And she's like, yes. She's like, I know. Monday morning, Mom, I am going to be on it. And I said, great. And I gave her a kiss and she jumps out the van because the bus is pulling up. And I look at her and I'm like, I roll down the window and I'm like, Sam, where's your backpack? So she had just been, I'm going to get it together. I'm going to school. And I was happy she went on a happy note. But she still left her backpack behind. So this is why I can laugh about it now, right? Because it's like, it was just so funny. Like the moment was so funny. Like she was happy that she was like, I'm getting it together now. And I was like, yes, she's going to get it together now. I am positive I'm going to have to talk to her again about this. But we have ended at least on an upbeat, positive note. She's getting on that bus a little, like, still a little bit down on the dumps. But, you know, she was a little bit... And she was just going to merrily get on this bus, me, myself, and I, because she turned around and like, oh, and she was like, oh, yeah, I actually need school books and, you know, my lunch and all this stuff we had just been talking about that I need to do well in my school day, I was just about to leave behind, so... That's where we're at in my life right now. So anyway, I thought I would share that with you, mainly because I got, after the last episode where I answered a couple questions about kids and routines, and I got some more questions, and several of them were all kind of in that they were asked, the several ladies, and I've responded to them personally already, they were asking more about, like, do I struggle as a mom with certain things? And yeah, absolutely. So I kind of wanted to share that story with you. One, because it's real. It is what's going on in my life right now. Things are not always perfect. As a mom, I say things, I do things that, you know, I kind of, I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that way, or the tone in my voice. You know, those are all things to me that are important, because as crazy as it sounds, like, I often laugh because I have a very bad, admittedly bad short-term memory. I couldn't tell you what I ate or wore 1, 2, 3 days ago, but I can very distinctly remember some of the worst arguments or fights even that my mom and I had when I was a kid about certain things. What I can really recall is the tone of her voice, the way she said stuff, the consequences of the way I spoke to her. And I will just sum it up to say my mom is old school in her punishment form. Now let me be very clear. I was not abused. I will never say that. I had a fabulous childhood. I love both my parents. But in terms of just the day-to-day, you know, mother-daughter, mother-child interaction, it's the exact same for all of us. Like, it's the same way for everybody. You hope that you have a heck of a lot more pluses than you do minuses. But there were some times where I'm looking back like, oh gosh, I was such a pain in the you know what about that. No wonder she was basically like, I am about to knock you into next week. Like, anyway, but I can remember being very clear in my mind, like, how things went down. Now, my mom is currently in the throes of grandparents' amnesia. So anytime I bring up, like, if she is, you know, makes a comment about, oh, you know, she's fine doing that. Like, that's fine. And I'm like, you never let us do that as kids. What are you talking about? You all were able to do whatever you wanted. Like, I'm like, yeah, right, sure. So yes, I ignore my mother now because, you know, grandparents' amnesia is a real thing. So anyway, but all with that to say, like, there are some things that I realize, if that sits with me still, and some of it, like, I don't hold it against my mother at all, but I'm kind of like, yeah, I want to do better, right? And even some conversations I've had with my mom, which when I'm talking to her and trying to get and asking for her advice in certain things, like dealing with these issues with Samantha, she has said, you know, I could have handled that better. I wish I had handled that better. I can't imagine there is a parent who doesn't have those, ooh, not my best moment. Not my best moment at all. And again, you just have to hope that all of the pluses that you put in there far outweigh the minuses. But so I share that because I've had, and I'm very thankful to those of you who send me your emails, and I hope that I haven't missed any. But in my reply, it's always, you know, it's always absolutely. I totally, totally get the struggle that you are having, and, you know, thank you for asking me for my opinion. Which, of course, I don't have all the answers, but I kind of wanted to infuse a little bit of that kind of mommyhood reality into this podcast, just because I know, like, we can all talk about the positive things and all of that. And I certainly am not saying that, as you can tell, I find it humorous in the end. that this is all a negative. This is just parenthood. This is just life with kids. Like, half the time they drive you crazy and nuts, and you're wondering, you know, why am I not on a beach sipping a margarita with my husband right now, just the two of us, versus this is the greatest. You know, my kids, I love them. We love to snuggle on the couch, and they're the best, like the best thing in my life, right? That's just how it is. But I wanted to just infuse some of that to remind, you know, those who are also currently going through some of this, that we're all in the same boat. We all have those same not so proud mommy moments and other moments where you're like, you know, I did the best I could and I tried the best I could for a positive outcome. And hopefully we can all just laugh about it in the end. Right? That's hopefully what we can do. My mom and I, believe me, my mom, my dad and I, we laugh a lot about our childhood. A lot of times we're laughing about my brother and his childhood. Because he was always a source of amusement for all of us. Anyway, and what's really funny is he's got two kids of his own, two little ones of his own, my niece and nephew. So he is, as my mom calls it, it's not just grandparents' amnesia. It's grandparents', what did she call it? Not retribution, but basically the satisfaction grandparents get of just being able to sit and watch their own children go through some of the same things that they did. And just that kind of little hee hee hee. Okay, so like I said, I don't have a whole lot of craftiness to talk about, but I will say I have done a couple posts on some of my art journal pages. I have been working on those off and on. And I did cast on some socks with some Cakewalk yarns. And the last pair I did, I think I mentioned that I frogged because I just was not happy with the fit. So I don't know if it was the needle or the yarn or what. I just wasn't happy with the fit. So I'm trying again. I'm not giving up. I am determined to knit a pair of socks. I'm using size 0 Addy Turbo Sock Rocket circular needles. These are 40-inch long, because I am doing the magic loop method. I tried doing double pointed needles and felt like I had 20 fingers going, and I was so worried about my stitches slipping off one of the needle. Yeah, it was kind of making me a little too panicked for what I like to do with knitting, which I want to be relaxing. So, and I enjoy the magic loop method. I will post a link to the video I watched, which is so good, so clearly demonstrates how to do magic loop with one circular needle. So the method is fine. And I'm using the advice of one of the video podcasters that I watch, Knitting Blooms. I'm using her sock tutorial for toe-up socks to make these, but she also advises that you buy two of whatever kind of needles you're using to do magic loop, to buy two of them and to work simultaneously on your socks, because that way you limit you kind of help mitigate that second sock syndrome, which knitters talk about who knit socks, is that basically you've gone through the whole process of knitting one sock, and by the time you get to the end, you kind of feel in your mind like, okay, I finished a project. I want to move on to something else. And so there are a lot of knitters out there with just one sock because they get, you know, bored, or they want to move on to another project or to use different yarn now and do something else. And so they only end up making one sock and, you know, say that, oh, I'll come back and make the second sock later. What she recommends, and which I agree with, and it's working out so far for me pretty well, is you knit the toe on one needle of one sock, and then you do the same thing on the other needle with the other sock. You split your cake of yarn into two balls, and then you knit the foot part of one and the foot of the other, and then do the heel of the one and the heel of the other, and then up the leg and finish on each. So that way, at no point are you really far behind on one or the other sock. And by the time you get to, let's say, the heel turn or the leg, you're far enough along on both socks that it just makes sense to finish them both and have a pair of socks. And I really like that. I'm on the, working on the foot of one, the first sock right now. And once I get that done, I've probably got about 20-ish more rows to go. And then I'll work on the foot of the other sock. So hopefully, and these are fitting pretty good. I really love this yarn. It is Cakewalk Yarns, which was an indie dyer. I don't think she's dying right now. I think she's taking a break. I think on her last blog post, she said she or a family member was having some health issues. So she... She's not doing any dyeing right now. She's a very popular indie dyer on Ravelry and Etsy. And a couple of years ago, I was able to snag a couple skeins of her yarn. And this one is the Brooklyn colorway, which is a cream colored base. And then it has specks of, I'm looking at it right now, sky blue and like an orangish yellow, and there's a little hint of green in there. It's very, very pretty. Not quite a neutral. I think from a distance the socks will read as a neutral because it is a lot of a cream base. But then there's a little specks of color in there to add some pops of interest. So I really, really love the yarn and it feels fabulous. So that's mainly what I'm working on while I watch House of Cards or some of my other Netflix shows. And then, like I said, I've had some other things going on in my mind I'm working on and playing around on EQ7 a little bit. And I'm pretty determined this year to make another jazz art quilt. I haven't decided which artist I want to do yet, but I've been doing some sketching from some photos and imagery I have in books and on the web. So those are the things that have upcoming. And I thought that I'd share, instead of a book review this time, what I thought I'd do is share with you a little bit of what I've been working on for work. And share a couple of, not a couple, there's actually quite a few on this list. I may not list all of them. Some spring and summer reads to add to your list, just to give you a heads up on some pretty well-known authors that have books coming out in the next couple months. Because that's what I've been working on, marketing and publicity campaigns and just things going on with a lot of these titles. I have not read all of these. I have not got the synopsis about all of them. If I have read one, I might give a little commentary, but I will post this list of titles, even some of the ones that I may not mention here, on the show notes to the blog so that you can take a look for yourself. But in April, I'm excited about the new Sarah Gruen book, At the Water's Edge, that's coming on March 31st. That's just in less than 2 weeks. She's the one who wrote Water for Elephants, if you remember that book, which was a huge bestseller. J.K. Rowling has a compilation of her commencement speech. I can't remember which school she gave the commencement speech, but the book will be called Very Good Lives, and it's basically a bound version of her commencement speech that she gave. And that comes out April 14th. The new book of fiction by Nora Roberts, Liar, goes on sale April 14th. And Harlan Coben, who is a very good suspense writer, has his new book coming out March 24th, which is next Tuesday, and it's called The Stranger. In May, if you're a fan of nonfiction, there's a couple of really good nonfiction books coming this spring. David McCullough, he's a pretty well-known history writer. He does extensive, really good research. And then he writes a story that is very non-textbook-like for nonfiction. His new book goes on sale May 5th, and it's about the Wright brothers. And that's the title, The Wright Brothers. Missoula by John Krakauer. I love John Krakauer. He wrote Into Thin Air. I'm drawing a blank. He wrote one about the polygamy, about the polygamists in, 20th century In Utah, he wrote a story. Yeah, he's a really, really good writer, too. His book, Missoula, is a very serious topic. It's about the rape culture in colleges, and he's going to talk about a college, I think it's University of Montana at Missoula. And that goes on sale April 21st. I'm mentioning that, one, because if you enjoy either true crime or nonfiction in general, or you've read past John Krakauer books, I highly recommend this one. I have not read it, but apparently with all the publicity that you will see coming about this book, he is not surprisingly going to be opening the conversation even wider about this topic. So let's see. Mary Higgins Clark has a new book coming May 5th, Melody Lingers On. John Sanford, another great suspense writer, Gathering Prey, goes on sale April 28th. Toni Morrison has a new book, God Help the Child, by April 21st. Toni Morrison actually just received another very prestigious literary award. And I was reminded she is the only living American Nobel Prize winner for literature living. I already said that. But yeah, she's the only one living here. So a legend, basically. So she's got a new book, God Help the Child, April 21st. And yeah, I will definitely be reading that. To be honest, I kind of have a warm, cold relationship with Toni Morrison's work. I can't get into all of it as much as others have celebrated it. I totally get it. I get why she's a Nobel Prize winner. But yeah, it's not necessarily my type of reading. But this one sounds very good. And it's also a short book. So that's April 21st. Let's see. Elizabeth Berg, who is a women's fiction writer that I adore. I love her work. The Dream Lover goes on sale April 14th. And How to Start a Fire by Lisa Lutz goes on sale May 12th. I really enjoyed this one. This is one that I will probably do a better review for it when it comes closer to the pub date. But let me just say, if you read the Spellman Files and enjoyed them, or even if you were, you know, not super enthused about them, but you thought it was a fun premise to the book, How to Start a Fire, I really, really enjoyed. This is a standalone novel. It's not a part of the Spellman Files at all, but her style of writing just gets better, in my opinion. And this was very witty and fun, and I had a good time with it. So it's How to Start a Fire, goes on sale May 12th by Lisa Lutz. Stephen King, for those of you who like Stephen King and to be scared, because he scares the bejesus out of me. I've said that before. His new book, Finders Keepers, goes on sale June 2nd. And even just the title sounds like, you know, a little bit of a eek for me. But, you know, again, he's another one. Not for me, but I totally get why he is such a popular author. Nelson DeMille has a new book. It's been a while since I read a DeMille, and this one I may pick up. Radiant Angel goes on sale June 2nd. Elin Hildebrand and Mary Kay Andrews both have new beach reads coming. The Rumor by Elin Hildebrand goes on sale June 16th, and Beach Town by Mary Kay Andrews goes on sale May 19th. Both of those are authors that I thoroughly enjoy, and I will probably be taking one of those books with me on our cruise. I love Mary Kay Andrews. I just think she's great. And then, of course, I'm sure if you are a bookophile, you have heard about the new Harper Lee novel coming July 14th, Go Set a Watchman. I am planning to read To Kill a Mockingbird probably the week before that, just so I can have that fresh in my mind. Because that's how much of a nerd I am. It's been a couple years since I read To Kill a Mockingbird, although I have read it probably at least 50 times. I'm not kidding. I've read that book so many times. I just love it. And yes, and took a whole college course on To Kill a Mockingbird, actually. That's, yeah. Anyway, so I will definitely be reading that one. And someone sent me an email. I'm sorry, I can't find it right now. They were kind of being funny, but they were also genuinely asking me, would I be reading it beforehand? Because I do get to read a lot of books before they go on sale to the public. And the answer is no. This book is absolutely embargoed. And what that means is nobody can read it other than the editor, probably the CEO or the president of the publishing company, for the book. Like, very, very few people are getting to read this book. And 24 hours, usually what happens is about 24 hours before the book goes on sale officially, they will send copies via courier to select reviewers, like the New York Times book reviewer, The Lead, The New Yorker, publications like that, that they want within 24 hours after the book goes on sale to see reviews come out. They will be sent a copy, and those people will have cleared their schedule basically to get that book in their hands and just read it for however long it takes them to be able to finish it, or finish it enough. Because yes, reviewers don't always finish the book completely before they actually start writing their review. So that's pretty much how that works. And then the day the book goes on sale, or 8 to 12 hours before it goes on sale, the rest of the books that they are allowing to get out ahead of time will go out. I will more than likely receive one the day of on sale, but this is not one that I receive months or whatever in advance. Yeah, they're going to keep this one as close and tight as possible to the on sale date, because they don't want spoilers and all of that to get out. And they actually don't want to see a review before, to be able to sway people's minds, because that way, they don't want to lose sales in case the reviews are not glowing, let's say. So a new Janet Ivanovich goes on sale June 23rd. That's Wicked Charms. This is in the Wicked series. I think it's Stephanie Plum and Diesel. I think that's his name. It's been a while since she wrote a Wicked book, but I'm kind of blah on the Stephanie Plum series now. I'm in it to the bitter end because, how many books are we in now? 20, something like 21, 22. And these are fun little sideline. Maybe it's not just Stephanie Plum. It's not Stephanie Plum. I can't remember the name of the main character with Diesel. I think, what is she, like a witch in Salem or something like that? But anyway, Wicked Charms is the next book coming this summer. Iris Johansson has a book, July 14th, The Naked Eye. And Jane Green, who's another good beach read, June 23rd, her book Summer Secrets goes on sale. And Linda Castillo has a book on sale July 14th, After the Storm. She's also another good female suspense writer. If you like J.A. Jantz, Dana Stabenow, Iris Johansson, Sandra Brown, Linda Castillo is another good one. She has a good series. I'm drawing a blank as to the name of the main character in her series, but she's a good series writer in that vein. So those are some of the books that are coming in the next couple months. So like I said, you don't have to make notes as I was, you didn't have to make notes as I was speaking. I will list all of these and maybe a few extra I find between now and the time I type up my show notes on the blog for you to take a look at. And I don't even have a classic movie review. I have not been watching classic movies. I have been watching Orange is the New Black. I've been watching video podcasts, Knitting Blooms, Minerva Turkey Knits, Truly Myrtle. And then I've also been watching a couple of gardening video podcasts. I'll post a link to a couple that are really good. Garden Girl TV is very good. I don't know if she's actively posting as many videos as she used to, but there's a ton of backlog videos to watch, and she's really good. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been watching lately. So I didn't have a classic movie review this time either, I'm sorry. But it's still almost an hour. Here I'm saying that I'm not going to talk for very long. That whole story about Samantha kind of took up more time than I thought. But anyway, I thank you very much for listening. I hope you are seeing and enjoying some spring if you're here in the States or in Europe. I know I've got some listeners from Europe that are also, I hope, experiencing a little bit of spring peeking out soon. And I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. For show notes, visit my blog at craftygardenmom.com. You can email me at TanishaQuilts@yahoo.com on Ravelry and Instagram. Oh, excuse me, I take that back. On Ravelry, I am Tanisha. On Instagram and Twitter, I am Crafty Garden Mom. Thanks again for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.